Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number two on this, I think it's Wednesday afternoon here. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dan Cook, News Talk 830 WCCO. It is always a pleasure when Dr. Michael Osterholm is kind enough to join me. Our radio relationship and eventual friendship goes back some 20 years back to my time at The Fan, and Mike has been incredibly loyal to us from the start of the pandemic, and Mike is back with us right now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, my friend. I'm glad you're on the air.
Thank you.
I want your thoughts on the approval of vaccines, both Moderna and Pfizer. With Moderna, it's for kids 6 months through 4 years old. With Pfizer, it is as young as five. So it's just a little bit. So let me just get this right. Moderna is 6 months through 5 years. Pfizer is 6 months through 4 years old. I apologize for screwing that up. What are your thoughts on how this played out? And in particular, for any parents who are listening right now who might be hesitant about giving a vaccine to a child as young as someone who qualifies in this area?
Well, first of all, let me just say, I think this is great news. And, you know, people will say, why did it take so long? And as we discussed before, one of the real challenges in making sure that vaccines not only work, but are they safe, that the ultimate group that we must have safety for is in that younger age group. And so kids have always been at the very, very top of the list for safety. And it took longer to generate the kind of information and determine the dosage and the timing for safety. So, yes, it was later than we saw for adults. I think the message that is really important to get across right now with regard to COVID in kids is that this is not a benign disease. If you look at what's happened so far, we've had over 45,000 children under the age of five been hospitalized for COVID. 45,000. 10,000 have gone onto the ICU. Since Omicron happened, it's actually caused a substantial increase in the impact of young children. In the U.S. right now, more than 1,400 children and teenagers have died from COVID. More than 400 of those deaths were in children under the age of five. So, you know, it's a milder disease per thousands hospitalized, or thousands infected, but it's still not a disease that you want to take lightly. So that's why I think these vaccines, are not going to be a perfect stopgap. They're not going to prevent all transmission, not going to prevent all illnesses, but they will do a lot to reduce serious illness in these kids. So as a parent and a grandparent, to me, this is really a critical thing to get done. And these vaccines are safe, by the way, in terms of what data we have on them. They're very safe.
Okay. Any side effects different with children this age compared to what side effects the two of us or others in our audience who are adults may have faced?
Yeah, you know, part of the challenge with the childhood immunization approach and the safety and how well they work is that the doses were cut down so much. For example, like the Pfizer vaccine, these are three microgram doses. This is much, much less than we see in adults. And so because of that, we were able to get the immune response that we need, but at the same time, really minimize any kind of safety issues. So with the trials that were done and the number of people that were enrolled, there was not any single safety signals that were in concern at all. We'll continue to monitor it closely, as we do with all vaccines every day. But at this point, no, there's no point to trade off and to say, well, I'll get the vaccine because this is this chance of that versus this chance of getting it if you have clinical disease.
The continued data I see, Mike, in the stories I read, talk about that we are dropping off with positive tests, but it's still higher than anybody would like. But most importantly, the fatalities that compared to other variants that we continue, thankfully, to stay lower with fatalities. Yes, we have too many happening. Let's not forget that, because loved ones are going to die today. Are you in agreement with my interpretation of the data, and why is it happening this way?
Well, I think you do have an appropriate interpretation, but let me add some context to it. You know, when you think about where we're at with COVID, people want this to be like a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake or even a forest fire, where it's done one day. It's done. It's over. We know. This is more like a war. I don't know when it's going to get done, and I don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of the war. And that's the challenge we have. For example, there's two subvariants of Omicron, BA4 and BA5, which are now emerging in many parts of the world. And some of the areas that have seen BA4 and BA5 emerge, such as Israel, I go through a longer list of countries, Portugal, they've actually seen a real bump up in hospitalizations and severe illnesses again. And what they're seeing actually is that even if you had before, you were vaccinated before, you're still getting it, meaning that these infections are basically, with BA4 and BA5, able to evade the immune protection from vaccines and previous BA1. So if you had Omicron back in January, you're still able to get it. Now, why is that challenging? Because we're now beginning to see more people who on their second and third infections are dying. And the challenge we have is, what does this mean going forward? If we see a major surge of BA4 and BA5 in the world over the course of the next 6 months, we could see a lot of pain, a lot of hurt that we're not seeing right now. And the challenge is, none of us know. Nobody knows. If anybody tells you they know what's going to happen over the next few months with this virus, be careful. As I've said to you before, they probably have a bridge to sell you. And I wish I could give people reassurance. I want reassurance for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my colleagues, and I can't. I don't know what's going to happen.
I have a friend of mine, early 60s. He and his wife recently tested positive, and they were struggling for a little bit. And he reached out to me on Paxlovid and wanted my thoughts, and I just conveyed what you tell me all the time. Are we understanding the side effects of Paxlovid any better now than we did a couple months ago? I know you've said repeatedly that if you ended up getting it, and thankfully you've not had it, you would take Paxlovid right away. So you're an advocate for Paxlovid. But I know some doctors, too, have been telling patients, just so you know, we have some of these side effects. Has anything changed in that area?
Well, you know, Chad, the challenge is they're not really side effects. What we were seeing is basically breakthrough or rebound infections, P meaning that I would take my Paxlovid, I'd get better, I'd have several days where I'm better, and then I would get sick again. Well, it's interesting. Just in the last month, we've been looking at this carefully, and it looks like these are not rebound infections. It's your immune system kicking in, and what you're experiencing is actually likely, well, not yet confirmed, but likely your own immune system causing these symptoms, not the virus. And had you not taken Paxlovid, you very well would have seen the virus continue as well as those symptoms. So it's kind of a new take on this, that now we have the data that says, yeah, we're not seeing virus grow in these people. We got rid of the virus. So I think in that sense, it is a good thing. And clearly the data are compelling that for those who are at increased risk for serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths, Paxlovid can dramatically decrease the frequency with which you end up in a hospital. So that's why I'm still high in it. There are no side effects from it that would cause you to be concerned, like an allergic response or some type of other toxicity. Likely the rebounds are not even related to the virus, to the drug itself, but to your body's, you know, responding to the virus having been there.
I've been reading a few of these texts. I'm going to give one that's a little more specific here, and I appreciate the text for Dr. Osterholm. Sure. Michael Osterholm is with us on CCO on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Doctor, I had a second COVID booster in April. I'm 59 and healthy. When should I get another booster shot?
Did they say they had the fourth one in April?
I had a second COVID booster in April.
So that's four total and likely, meaning that they had two mRNA vaccines, unless they had a J&J.
Yep.
At that point, there are no additional boosters yet approved. I'm in the same boat. In fact, mine was even earlier than April. I'm fourth dose. I would welcome another booster. We're not going to be able to boost our way out of this. We need new and better vaccines that ultimately will give us more durable protection. And but for right now, if boosters are approved for a fifth booster, and there's a discussion about this right now, looking at it, I would get it right away. To me, you know, we have clear evidence that these vaccines are keeping people, again, from not necessarily getting infected, but clearly it's compelling. They're keeping people from becoming seriously ill and needing to be hospitalized and, of course, dying. So for me, this, you know, we've saved millions of lives with these vaccines, saved millions of lives, even if they've not been perfect. That, to me, is an incredible, incredible story.
Okay, so last point, just picking up on that. Do you expect over the next, before this year is done, that another booster will be approved? And then you said, listen, we can't just boost our way out of this. We need to get better vaccines. How far away are we from a different type of vaccine, which is not out on the market yet, which you think might be even more effective against the variants that we have?
Well, let me just say that, first of all, in regard to your first part of the question, by the end of the year, we have another booster recommended. We could. I can't say for certain we will, but we could. What do we need long term? As we've discussed before, our center actually is leading a global effort right now in developing what we call a pan-coronavirus vaccine roadmap, meaning that we are working with groups all around the world, including the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, et cetera, to actually lay out a blueprint plan for what new vaccines we could get and how we could get them. And I think at this point, it's fair to say that there are new vaccine types, new vaccine approaches that are surely being looked at. And I think that it is very likely we will see new 2.0, 3.0 vaccines. They won't happen overnight. That, I think, is the challenge. When I say we can't boost our way out of this, you know, are we going to try to get the whole world vaccinated every 6 months, whatever? We don't know. And this is where we're learning. And this is where, again, Chad, we just have to be really humble and honest and say there's a lot we don't know yet. And, you know, I know that these vaccines are quite safe. I know that these vaccines can give us temporary and quite effective protection. But what we need is one that, you know, kind of three and out, you're done, you know, for life, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. If we're trying to do this like flu, where we have to do it every year or every 6 months, to try to do that for the whole world, it isn't going to happen. And so that's why we need these new and better vaccines. Our group is actually working, and I lead this effort, and I can say that I'm certain that there will be new and better technologies coming. I just can't tell you when.
Great info as always, Mike. Thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
Michael Osterholm with us, playing politics bottom of the hour, lighter dialogue in the 2 o'clock hour. Very serious first hour on a conversation on God's plan and obviously COVID. It's not exactly lighthearted fare. And playing politics is serious too, but more fun in the 2 o'clock hour. Give us a follow on Twitter at Dan Cook WCCO, at AC830, at Chad Hartman Show. Dan, where are you at with the vitamins and supplements? Well, actually, just take us through Dan Cook getting ready. When Dan Cook is sent the email.
Yeah.
And he's praying deeply that I will not call. That, you know, a text might come, but just like, please.
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't need the phone
call. I don't need to talk to him, you know, at 9:30.
Just text. That's fine.
Just text.
Yep.
Like when you're getting ready, take us through. I know it's not a lot of time with a hairdryer.
No.
Okay, we've established
that. No, not a lot of shampoo. No, none of that.
Not a lot of shampoo. Do you just avoid the shampoo part of like Target or Costco? Or do you go there kind of pining when you had that big mullet that you had years ago?
I do. I mean, there are occasions where I miss the mullet, but the savings in shampoo and haircuts are more than worth it as far as I'm concerned. So
yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't pine really at all. No.
Well, you're probably a quick shower guy.
It's like 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes tops. Tops.
Well, it depends on that's a,
well, it depends on if I'm shaving or not.
Shower. It's a long shower. Isn't
10 minutes
it?
Is 10 a long minutes? Shower?
Well, so I think it is. You text me 651-461-9226. Is 10 minutes a long shower? I feel like as I'm getting older, go ahead.
Is your shower operating black and white or how does that work?
Yeah. No, I thought you were going to go closing in on 60.
Oh, rapidly approaching 60 years old. I'm sorry. I missed that one. Sorry.
57. It's harder for me to push back on that. Maturity level, thankfully, is 11. Yep. So there's a counterbalance.
Yep, definitely.
I'm liking showers, more time in the shower. I know environmentalists are going to say, you know, dead to me, lose my number. I'm liking the longer shower, but 10 minutes. I don't know. I think people think 5 minutes is boom, in and out.
Really?
That's a quick shower.
I want to see the text because I don't know. It doesn't feel like I'm, you know, just lounging around in there or anything. Like I said, it kind of depends. It goes a little shorter if I'm not shaving that day.
Hold on a second. You're in there. You're not using shampoo. You're not using conditioner. I mean, how many different pieces of soap are you using on your body if you're not lounging around?
No,
I think
just
you are lounging, Dan.
No, I'm not lounging. I just use a single bar of soap, you know, and I start, you know, with my head and work my way down. And, you know, it just takes a little bit to, you know, get everything lathered up and rinsed off and the whole bit. I don't think 10 minutes is too long at all.
How long have you hated the environment with this 10 minutes?
I don't think 10 minutes is anti-environmental.
Put a timer on it tomorrow, will you? Just get a timer set up.
I have a timer on the phone. I'll time it.
Yeah. Are you a vitamins and supplements guy?
No. I mean, I take medication, but not vitamins or supplements.
So I have moved back and forth on this. For a long time, I was in the group that said, I believe that they're waste, that I believe in, you know, the natural vitamins and supplements we get. But now I've kind of moved back into, yes, who's our guy? Dr. Paul Offit wrote a book about this. And said, we're just wasting money. You might as well just take it, go to the shredder. Shh, that was my shredder noise. And just throw the money away with vitamins and supplements. I know I've added some. God knows what supplements Carter is adding. I mean, just, I don't even want to go there. But there's a study from Northwestern saying that They're not really helping us. In fact, some may do more harm than good. Last year, we spent $50 billion. And the research team in Northwestern said there's no magic set of pills to keep you healthy. Instead, diet and exercise. That is the way to go. Wasting money and folks think there's a magic set of pills will keep them healthy. We all should be following the evidence base. Practice is healthy and exercise and saying that some of these supplements could cause cancer, not to prevent it. We got enough things that we read one day. Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah.
And it's not. So good luck to you trying to understand about vitamins and supplements. Cause yeah. I'm sure you'd Google a study from 10 days ago saying they can be really helpful.
Maybe. I don't know, but it feels to me that when I'm seeing stories and research, it's almost always that they're either benign, they just sit in your stomach and don't do anything, or that, you know, because of the lack of regulation, strong regulation on these things, that, you know, you don't have any idea of what you're actually putting into your body. So that's sort of where I kind of gave up going down that road. By the way, the people on the text line are 1,000% with you. They're saying 5 to 7, and that's the maximum. So I got to be doing something wrong. I'll put a clock on it tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
Just to go, how about a StreamYard? Could you have Dan Edwards go?
Yeah, no, we're not
going to
do that. No, I'm not going to. No, no, no. Nobody.
Why
needs
not?
To, nobody needs to see that. Are you kidding?
How about DeRussia? You and DeRussia, the new partnership?
Nope. Nope.
Shower together?
Nope. 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 I like Jason.
You would get to know each other better.
You would. You definitely would. I like Jason, but I don't like Jason that much. No.
Wow. Me?
I like you even less than him.
Wow. That hurts. You know I'm listening right now.
You asked the question. How many times do I got to tell you? Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
It's true. Blame Politics comes up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Rash and Denise Johnson are here from the Star Tribune editorial board, Playing Politics, part of WCCO Radio for a long, long time. John and Denise are on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Let's start with the January 6th Select Committee and what took place yesterday during this show. Powerful testimony, many Republicans, about the election and the efforts directed by the president himself, his attorney Rudy Giuliani, the chief of staff Mark Meadows, to overturn the results. John, I'll start with you. They all were compelling, including Rusty Bowers, the Arizona speaker, who talked about a phone call with President Trump. And Bowers, as anybody should, by the way, Bowers, who voted for Donald Trump, saying, I need to see some evidence. I mean, you're asking me to do these things, and I need to see evidence. And he remembers Rudy Giuliani at one point saying, we've got a lot of theories. We just don't have the evidence. That pretty much sums up Rudy Giuliani, by the way. We've got a lot of theories. We just don't have the evidence. I will also add this, John, that Bowers, with his moving testimony, he also said in an interview earlier this week, if it is a repeat of Joe Biden against Donald Trump, even knowing what Donald Trump was trying to do to overturn this election without proof, he says again, John, without hesitation, that he would vote for Donald Trump.
That's one of the extraordinary aspects of this from two perspectives. One is that the most damning evidence, most compelling conversations that the committee members have had with witnesses have been from Republicans. So while President Trump and many of his congressional supporters try to position this as a partisan witch hunt, it's Republicans who are reporting on what happened, how egregious the violations were, or the ones that were being asked to do, as happened yesterday. And yet so many of them did vote for and will vote for President Trump again, should he run against President Biden. And it really shows how deeply divided this nation is, how entrenched the partisanship is, and how, unless we get two different presidential candidates, so much of the next election may be about the last election, and that's usually not how a nation moves forward.
Denise, it also stood out, whether it was Bowers, so many others, but the harassment they have received or family members have received because, in their opinion, and backed up by cases going to the court and the Trump administration consistently losing, that they were doing their job, that they just were doing their job. And there are individuals who may have been known within their states or their counties, but became national stories because President Trump, in particular, and others brought them in the conversation and said they were a part of the steal. And just hearing their words about what their lives have been like since then was just heartbreaking, to be honest, when it would be equally bad if any administration did this. It doesn't matter. But it is this one, the 45th president's administration, which was perpetuating this and targeting people when there wasn't any proof.
Well, that's exactly how I felt listening to some of these election workers who are just heartbreaking to hear the kinds of things that they have gone through and continue to go through because of what the former president was trying so desperately to prove, that they are, you know, continuing to have be victims to harassment and have changed their lives dramatically because of, you know, as you said earlier, they were simply doing their jobs. And it almost seems surreal that we have Republicans who are saying that this is the case, that it was that there was no evidence to prove what the former president was trying to prove, and yet they will still vote for him as if the truth doesn't matter, as if lying is okay, as if threatening our democracy is okay.
So let's switch to Joe Biden, who is beleaguered right now, who is facing criticism in many areas. His approval ratings continue to sag, and a huge part of this is tied to inflation and the costs all of us are facing, which are significantly higher, including gas prices. This has been rumored for a week now, has become official in the last 45 minutes when Joe Biden called on Congress to temporarily suspend the federal gas tax. He asked Congress to lift federal tax but 18 cents per gallon on gasoline, 24 cents per gallon on diesel through the end of September. Denise, I've watched a lot of analysis from journalists, from Democrats and Republicans who are incredibly skeptical of this idea. We're saying it's just a gimmick right now that may sound appealing, but the reality is where it hurts this economy is going to be larger than this bit of a sugar rush. Where do you stand on what the president is offering up today?
Well, I think that there will be a lot of Americans who will welcome that break. It's a big part of what's driving. I mean, we have certainly have this all over our economy, but I think that there will be Americans, particularly in the season where people are wanting to do more driving because of vacationing and so forth, will welcome this kind of break from at least one part of the inflation in our country.
John, some reflect what Denise is saying, but there are others within Joe Biden's own party who now or in the past have pushed back heavily against this. All these decisions, whether you're a governor, a senator, or a president, have a political note to it. To me, again, it feels like that the president is chasing the story as opposed to he's ahead of it in trying to change the direction of the country, which in many areas is not in a positive way. And when you're the president, whether you like it or not, you have to take some of that criticism.
Well, I concur with Denise that many Americans, including this reporter, will benefit from it. I drive, you drive, Denise does, all of our listeners
right,
likely do. But that being said, I think the key word in this proposal is temporary. And we should be looking for more permanent solutions all around. As a government, as a society, there is a clear supply and demand equation dynamic. We should get more to the root of that, which is what is driving, literally and figuratively, I guess, in this case, you know, these gas price increases. and figure out how we can maximize domestic supply while working extraordinarily hard to transition toward more fuel-efficient vehicles, more electric vehicles, as just one example, more hybrids, and being able to reduce the demand for consumption of gasoline. If anything, when you have a tax break, it is, in effect, an injection of spending into the U.S. economy, and that might actually exacerbate the inflationary pressures. And I think that we have to think as a government and as a society what the impacts are when we have such massive stimulus bills as we've had, and we've had them under different administrations, under different dynamics, such as the Great Recession when President George W. Bush was there, and certainly under President Trump, and especially under President Biden regarding the pandemic. And that's part of the inflation equation as well, warned about like a voice in the wilderness by Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, a Democrat, and generally ignored by the Democratic administration running now. So I think that America really suffers from short-termism in so many ways, and we have to start thinking longer term about how we move forward as a country and don't just lurch from crisis to crisis.
Last thing, right now Scott Jensen, who in the MinPost poll is very close. That same poll, though, has about 40% not familiar with the former state senator, is pushing hard, John, right now for Governor Walz to debate him. It's early. It's June 22nd. Debates normally don't happen this early. Do you see any scenario where Tim Walz is going to debate Scott Jensen ahead of the normal time?
No, I do not. This is a classic contender versus incumbent strategy where they try to engage him in a series of debates because it elevates the challenger, puts him or her on the same stage, literally and figuratively, as the incumbent. And if I were the representative, former Representative Jensen, I'd be asking for the same thing. And if I were managing Governor Walz's campaign, I would say, this is standard, ignore it, and we will engage in three debates as normally happen, or perhaps it'll be a few more as the November election nears. Now, that being said, you know, they are debating on Twitter and other ways via social media, which is not really an effective way to govern, especially as, you know, we're talking about lurching from crisis to crisis. You know, the governor's trying to get a special session going. And so, you know, this again is a classic example of short-termism as opposed to thinking long-term on a state that used to do so.
Same thing for you, Denise. Do you see any changes? Obviously, they are, John nailed it, they're out very visibly, but not on a stage together. Does that happen before September?
I don't think so. I don't think that the governor has any reason to do it earlier than the normal time. A lot of Minnesotans are not necessarily, you know, sort of Labor Day and after when they get really engaged. I don't see any why that would be at all advantageous to him or why he should, even though Jensen's calling for it, that he should do a formal debate before the regular time.
Thanks to both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
John Rash and Denise Johnson playing politics with the Star Tribune. What are your thoughts so far on the tunes you've picked out for the year 2000?
Well, they're certainly a lot better than the tunes from 1983. I mean,
I agree.
Saying,
yeah. Oh,
that was a dreadful
pushback
year.
For me.
Yeah, that was a dreadful year.
I think it was Grandpa Carter was trying to defend 1983. It certainly wasn't me. I think the tunes.
You want a list of my supplements that I take? Big Lou gave me a list.
Big Lou, where? So Cook also says he takes a 10-minute shower, and it's quick. He thinks a 10-minute shower is quick. That's nonsense, right?
Yeah, that's a little long, I think.
Really?
I mean, it's not like extraordinarily, like my God, long, but it's a little long.
Oh man, I've got to reevaluate a lot of things here.
Let's just say a lot of people are wondering what's taking place in that show.
I mean, you filthy-minded.
Dan, is that correct?
Those
I mean,
folks,
from the texters?
I mean, seriously. What's the matter with you people suggesting that kind of nefarious activity?
Why do you go through all that shampoo? I mean,
There was a lot of talk of suds, Dan.
I know there
for
was.
For a guy who has no hair.
I know.
That's all I know.
I mean, you know, I think that reflects more about our audience than it does about me. I'm just going to say that.
What a deflection that was.
Really? Really, you like
Donald
that one?
Trump was here.
Don Bullpre.
Stop the steal. Ballpark your average shower, Adam.
It's probably five minutes.
5 minutes. Well, you've known as a man who's quick in that area, so that really doesn't surprise
me. Come on.
Linda's construction time check is 157 GAF asphalt shingles. They are the way to go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.